Good morning. I'm not afraid to cry, Eric. I'll share about your feet. We'll finish off the joys and concerns quickly with me. That's okay. And we will praise God for Eric. Last week, Eric was here for the first time in many weeks. His feet, he'd been to the hospital down in the Mayo Clinic, and they had gotten the swelling to start to come down, and they had gotten the pain under control with medication, and we were praising God, and he came, and he faithfully put his feet up to continue. And I don't know about you, but I spent time praying this week that the healing would continue. You know, you go to the hospital and they can do all of these things, and then the concern is that you leave and it just flares back up again, right? So Eric came to church on Sunday and he's got his feet up, and it still was swollen, but they were getting better. He has continued to improve all week long. And we praise God for that. Obviously, he's wearing his real shoes now because his feet were fit in them for the first time in a long time. So we praise God for that. He was able to stand up here and do announcements pain-free with the help of pain medication. God is good and he is faithful. And we praise him for that. So would you guys join me and we'll finish the joys and concerns as we praise God for the miraculous healing work he has done in Eric's life. God, we thank you for Eric. We thank you for the man that you have made him. We thank you for the impact he has had in each of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are proven faithful once again. Thank you for the healing touch. We thank you for the medical wisdom and skill displayed by the doctors and the nurses who he saw in the Mayo Clinic. And we thank you, Lord, that as they worked faithfully, you worked faithfully. We thank you that the healing has continued. We're not done, Father. We pray for 100% healing, Father. We thank you for that he's pain-free, that he's able to walk around, that he is getting better. Father, we pray that you would continue the work to complete healing. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There goes all of my extra time. That's good. Wow, thank you for being here today. It is sort of officially the Christmas season, right? You know that when we're talking about the star at church, that we have transitioned to the Christmas season. I'm glad you guys are here. I trust that sort of no matter where we are with God, that God has us here for a reason to show us, draw us deeper to him and show us more clearly how much he loves us. Listen to this verse in Daniel. I was reading this earlier in the week. Chapter 10, verse 19. This is an angel speaking to Daniel. He says, "Don't be afraid," he said, "for you are deeply loved by God. Be at peace, take heart, and be strong." Isn't that great? What a great, now this was written, this was an angel speaking to Daniel, but we can pull this out. I think God's message is the same to us, right? You are deeply loved by God. This was the message, again, that the angel gave to Daniel. I think it's the same message that God is giving us with the star. You guys remember, Jesus is born, and one of the signs that he gives to show the world that the Messiah has come to the earth, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, the sign that he gave was this supernatural star. You know, they try to come up with, what could this possibly have been? Some people think it may have been Halley's Comet that bombed through, but the timeline doesn't really match up. They think maybe two stars had aligned, but they never would have fully aligned. They try to figure out what could this possibly be. It is a supernatural star that was in the sky. We'll get to it a little bit later, but for over 2 years, declaring God's love for the world. It's the same thing that the angel said to David. or to Daniel, excuse me, he says, you are deeply loved by God. That's what the point was, telling the world, you are deeply loved by God. And because of that, I sent my son. It's God calling us. It is beckoning us. We're look at the Magi that we're going to talk about. The star was a call. It was beckoning them to him, inviting them to them. It is doing the same to us today. It is inviting us to God. You guys remember when you first fell in love? I'll never forget. My wife and I, she was in the Air Force at the time, and I was working at the TV station in Grand Forks, and so I was working nights and weekends and miserable hours, and she was working goofy hours, and so our schedules were just like this. And any time that our schedules actually met up and we could see each other, it was like the heavens opened, the angels sang. It was the greatest thing in the world for me. Like, I can't. And she would call me and say, like, hey, I'm free here. I'm like, praise the Lord, I'll be free then too. It would make my day. And we'd go rollerblading, and we'd go to Joe DiMaggio's, which is one of our favorite restaurants. But it didn't matter what we did, as long as I was with her. It was like for the first time I felt whole and completed, because this part of me, right, this part of me that was created for me had been missing. Remember those feelings when you first fell in love, when your loved one called you and beckoned you and invited you in. This is the message of the star. It is God calling us to his side because we are deeply loved. Remember that as we go through this Christmas season, that the Christmas season is about calling you to his side because you are deeply loved. And we're called to God's side just like the Magi were over 2,000 years ago. So I wanted to pull some lessons learned from the journey of the Magi to help us maybe understand God's invitation to him and glean some practical steps to draw close to the Creator. But let's pray, and we'll get into some of the Scripture. Father, we thank you for your deep love. Thank you, Lord, for your call, your desire, Lord, that we would draw close to you and know you more and more. And we pray, Lord, that today you would pull those curtains back and reveal more of who you are to us. Would you speak to us through your Scripture, through your Word, Father? Again, I pray you'd move me out of the way, God, and would you speak to our hearts? And would we leave today, Father, with a better understanding of how much you love us? Would that transform our lives? Would it mark who we are as people that we are traveling, following the star with all that we have to be close and to worship you? We just pray you just touch our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so who were the Magi or wise men? Excuse me. There's not much known about them. May I trouble you for a glass of water? Excuse me. There's not much written about the Magi. In fact, the only thing in all of Scripture that is written about these Magi is found here in Matthew 2. No one else touches on them. And so there's very little known. There's very little known about them. The Magi in the Old Testament, that term is translated astrologer. In the New Testament and other places, it's translated as sorcerer. Historically, we see people with this title as advisors to kings or to rulers. Thank you very much. Excuse me. They were advisors to kings or to important people, right? And their job In some, you know, so then in some cultures, they were seen to be able to see the future or to know things that shouldn't or couldn't be known. They were, or sometimes they were asked to know impossible things. They were sort of a group of, you know, when all else fails, the rulers would go to the Magi. So they were responsible to know and to understand a lot from a lot of different cultures to help in their advising. This is how they understood the sign of the star, right? This group would have studied, most likely would have studied the Jewish culture, the Jewish religion, the Old Testament. They would have studied the Jewish faith. So it's sort of like, so imagine, there's a college professor, right? And they're a professor of theology, and it doesn't matter if they are a believer or not, if they've bowed their knee before Jesus Christ or not, if they have studied the scripture and they understand all that is coming in the second coming. And they understand it intellectually, and then all of a sudden they start to see the signs. They see the second coming. Doesn't matter if the rest of the world has no idea what's going on. The college professors who have spent time studying it will say, I know what that is because I've read about it in the Christian faith. That's what happened. These magi, who are sort of these thought to be wise men, they had studied the Jewish faith, and there's this supernatural star that arrived, and they say, I know what that is. I'm not sure I believed in that God, but I know what that is because we've read about it and we've studied it, and it's been predicted for thousands of years. It was as clear a message to them as could be. That's why they asked, where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. It's interesting that phrase, worship him. The way it's written, it doesn't necessarily mean that they fully understood what they were doing. They were there. It's as if Matthew is saying that they worshipped him more than they knew, sort of the phrase they use. Isn't that something? They understood the sign, and so they worshipped him because they knew what he was declaring. It's also interesting that phrase "King of the Jews" was used to describe Jesus later in life as well, right? When he was being crucified on the cross, they hung a sign above him that said, the King of the Jews. Alright. So they lived in the east, and scripture doesn't specify from where. Some people speculate it could have been from Babylon, but doesn't specify from where. But it was a long journey, a long ways away. In verse 16, you'll see when the Magi leave and they deceive Herod because they find out that he's plotting against them. What does Herod do? Verse 16, it tells us he kills all of the babies born back to when the star first appeared. They told him when the star first appeared. It was 2 years before that. So he killed all the kids 2 years and low. Why did he do that? Because it took the Magi 2 years to get there. So he knew that sometime in the last 2 years, the baby had been born. So when they arrived in the country the Messiah would be born in, they found a ruler who began plotting against them. Here's the first lesson to learn from the journey of the Magi. Ready? First lesson to take from the journey of the Magi is this: God loves us, but we may still have a long and dangerous journey ahead of us. God loves us, but we may still have a long and dangerous journey ahead of us. The Magi saw God calling them. They saw God's love proclaimed to the world in the birth of the Messiah, they still had a long and dangerous journey ahead of them. The same is true of us. God loves you. God loves you. And he's calling you to his side, and he wants you to grow closer to him and be more intimately connected than we can sometimes fathom. It still may be a long and dangerous journey. But just as God was with the Magi and he had the star to guide them, he will lead and guide and direct us. He will protect us along the way. Just like Magi. We see it over and over in Scripture, right? The Israelites, when they're wandering in the desert, what does God do? He guides them with a star at night, or with a star and fire, right? So they can follow. God tells us in his word that his word is a lamp to our feet. He will lead and guide and direct us. All right. Let's shift gears a little bit and let's go back to Daniel. There's a king in Babylonia. Babylon had conquered Israel, right? And so now the Israelites were all under Babylon rule. And there's a king named Nebuchadnezzar who at the time was sort of a wicked ruler. And he wakes up. He has this dream that greatly disturbed him. It disturbed him so much that he couldn't sleep. And so he called the magicians and the enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. Right? What did he call? He called his magi. Right? Same thing. And he demanded that they tell him, this is crazy. He didn't say, tell me the meaning of this dream. He said, tell me what my dream was, and then tell me what it means. How would you like to get that edict? And he said, he gets to the point where he says, you tell me what my dream is, and then you tell me what it means, or I will kill all of you. Now, if you have to come up with the meaning of a dream, you can make something up, right? But if you have to tell him what the dream is. So they were frantic. Listen to this. In Daniel 2, they said, there isn't a man alive who can tell your majesty his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. This is an impossible thing the king requires. Nebuchadnezzar asked the impossible. And again, he was so enraged that they couldn't do it because he knew what they were doing, right? He knew that they were just going to make something up. He was so enraged that they couldn't do it. He ordered that all of the wise men in all of Babylon were killed. Now that included some of the exiles from Israel, right? That included Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they came to Daniel, because they said, listen, no one can tell the king his dream and what it means, and so we have to kill all of you. Daniel went to the king right away. And he told him, just give me a little bit of time. And then he goes to his friends, the other Jews, and he says, let us pray to God and ask that he would reveal this mystery to us. And so they did. They prayed. In Daniel 2:19, it says, that night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. That night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel, because of that, he goes on and he is praising God. He says, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he alone has all wisdom and power. He reveals deep and mysterious things. Six 600 years later, God is still revealing deep and mysterious things as he reveals the Son of God to the Magi. Excuse me. Next lesson from the journey of the Magi is just this, that God reveals deep and mysterious things. God shows us deep and mysterious things. You've got these magi in the East who study God's word. Not the Jews, right? Like the Jews of the day, they were they were God's chosen people. They were the ones who the truth of the star had been revealed to. They were the ones waiting for the Messiah. God revealed it to the Magi. The same God who revealed deep and mysterious things to Daniel. The same God who revealed deep and mysterious things to the Magi. It's the same God who will reveal deep and mysterious things to you and to me. If we seek God, He will reveal deep and mysterious things just like He did to them. It's the same God. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." And as we see the star in our lives calling us and inviting us to God, it should remind us and encourage us. God reveals deep and mysterious things to draw us to Him. All right, we'll go quickly. The last one, the lessons we should take from the journey of the Magi. True blessing and depth comes from work. True blessing and depth comes from work. It doesn't just happen. So the Magi, they see this star, this supernatural star calling them. And so they go, but the star gets them to the area, right? That gets them to the country. And they get there, and what do? They go to the leader, and they say, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So they'd already put some good work into this study, right? They'd already been studying the Jewish traditions, the Jewish faith. They knew to follow the star. Got them to the ballpark, but to finish the journey, to get to the king's doorstep, they needed some more important details, right? So they went to the leader of the land they were led to, and they asked for details. "Where's the one who was born the King of the Jews?" Can you imagine poor Herod? So the guy, history tells us, he was sort of a paranoid guy anyway. And so now these wise men, these magi from the east come, and they come to him and say, "Hey, who's the king who was just born?" He's like, "The who now? Wait a minute. I am the ruler in this land." So he looks into it. And the verse that Eric read this morning goes on and says, "When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." And then it goes into the prophecy that we won't cover. He goes to the experts, right? The people's chief priest. This was a group. You have one chief priest who was over all of the religious leaders, right? One chief priest. But they would be changed out every now and then, right? Like the law said you could only do it once a year, but Herod did it more than that. But then you had this group. The people's chief priest would be like the chief priest and all of the previous chief priests, sort of like all of the presidents, right? You got the president and all the former presidents. That's this group. It is sort of the cream of the crop of the priests. They were made up completely of Sadducees. And then he called the teachers of the law. So remember, much of the law, the civil law, was based on the Old Testament and the interpretation of the Old Testament, right? That was what their civil law was based off of. So teachers of the law were the Pharisees. They were the spiritual leaders of their communities. So Herod called together the world's foremost experts to answer the question, Well, now that we know that it's here, where specifically does it was the Messiah to be born? They had been given a supernatural sign, but to finish the journey they needed the wisdom and insight only given to those who faithfully studied God's word. True blessing and depth comes from work. They needed that effort that they put in to really studying to finish the job, right? My kids, they're always asking me to tell them the story of how my wife and I met and got married. They're just as shocked as you are that I got her to marry me, right? They're like, this guy, you had to trick her, Dad. Tell us the story again. Maybe we'll figure it out. And so we tell them the story. I'm like, well, we met at a Bible study, right? We both ended up at this same Bible study. And I don't know if it was love at first sight. I know it was infatuation at first sight. Liked her a lot, and we instantly connected as we talked about God and how He'd working in our lives. And as I was telling that story to them the other day, I was thinking, what if the story ended there, right? What if I never worked any more to get to know her, or to let her know who I am? I mean, maybe. We were created for each other, I believe that. Maybe we still would have gotten married. Maybe. But we would have missed quite a bit, wouldn't we? Right? What if I'd seen this great sign, I'd met her, and it was clear to me, just as clear as it was to the Magi. And I would have been missing out on the true depth and the real sweetness of being married to her, right? As we connect and we communicate and we work to know each other, right? We work on our relationship. And we work to love each other. That's where the true sweetness and the depth of our marriage really takes hold, right? We've made a commitment to each other long ago that we would never leave each other, and this allows me to give every part of who I am without fear of rejection. Mocking and ridicule, yes, I'm going to get that. Not rejection. This allows Tracy to give all of who she is to me without fear of rejection. That is where the sweetness and the depth comes in to the marriage. And it doesn't work if we're not working at it, if we're not investing over and over and over. This is true with our relationship with God as well. The Magi saw the star and it called them close. But the real blessing in the depth, right? It called them close. So they think if they'd gotten to the country and they'd said, this is it. This is where the Messiah is. And then they turned and left. They would have missed it. When they got to his door, they were able to offer their gifts and truly worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. They were able to be in His presence and worship Him. The true depth of their connection was revealed with some extra work. God calls each of us. There is a star in each of our lives inviting us to God. But the true blessing and depth comes from the work on our part to draw closer to Him. Psalm 119, verse 162 says, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. And we don't have time to get into that. You'll just have to grasp the concept that this is a treasure worth all that we have. Because it draws us closer to God. All right. So these are the lessons that we have time for today from the Magi, right? God loves us, but we may still have a long and dangerous journey ahead of us. God shows us deep and mysterious things, and true blessings in depth come from intentional, hard work to draw close to Him. So as we enjoy this season, right, where the world celebrates, hopefully we're celebrating the fact that God sent His Son for us. Because He loves us deeply. He sent His Son for us. And as we celebrate that this season, let's draw close to Him. Let's see the supernatural sign of Christmas, and let's draw close to Him, keeping in mind there, it may be a long and dangerous journey, but He loves us and will guide us. And He will reveal to us deep and mysterious things. And the true blessing and death comes from the hard work of investing in Him. Let's pray, and the worship team can come up. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your love. We thank You, God, that You deeply love us. Not in hypothetical, theoretical ways, Father, but in a real, true, life-changing, life-transforming way. Pray, Lord, that as you call us, as You invite us to Your side, we would be just as excited about that call as we are when our loved ones call us. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust You and follow You, and we would do whatever it takes, Father. We would endure a long and dangerous journey, knowing that You are leading us and guiding us. Father, I thank You for all that You have revealed to us. Would You just continue to reveal deep and mysterious truths? And Lord, give us the strength to invest all we have to grow deeper and deeper in You. Because it is the greatest blessing in our lives. Pray Your hand would be on each of us as we go, Father, drawing us ever closer to You. Pray this in Jesus' name.